As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer sitting in for the fellas.
I thought I was working with Darius today.
It's good. It's very good. Who was that? Was that the ticket winner? If that was a ticket winner, revoke his damn ticket.
No, it was Matt and Stafford.
Oh, it was Matt and Stafford.
Yeah.
It's not that Matt and Stafford.
It's Matt Stafford. Do you know he went to high school with Clayton Kershaw?
Really?
Yeah. Only heard that about 1,500 times.
Somehow we go from that to this. Talking all things Commanders draft. 6 days away from the start of the NFL draft. Toby, I believe me and you anchor in our draft coverage over on our sister station, the Team 980. So
make sure
you keep it locked all day on April the 24th. Coming up for the NFL draft.
Excited about it. Yeah, we got to make our own mock draft so we can see who is worse at mock drafting.
I'm the best mock drafter, you probably know.
I know I can get one right. Cam Ward. After that, I have no idea.
Yeah, still some debate about what's going to happen at the top of the draft when it comes to the quarterback position, something that we'll continue to monitor when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Make sure you keep it locked, though, on the Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour up until 5:20. Your next chance to win is in about 15 minutes, so make sure you keep it locked on the Fan. Right now, what we're asking you on the phones at 1-800-636-1067, what does Washington have to leave the draft with? Sunday when you wake up and you're looking at all the draft grades from all your draft pundits, all your favorite draft pundits, what are they going to be saying about the Commanders if they don't select this player, this position? I feel like edge. I'll give the easy answer. They need an edge rusher.
It's the answer, by the way.
100%. I think it's the answer for sure. My question is, how do they choose to address edge? Do they go with the depth that's at the position and wait till maybe day two to go edge, or do they hit it on day one? That's the question to me. And the one thing that I continue to get annoyed with throughout the process is like falling in love with prospects and then hearing other guys kind of like poo-poo on them. Like at the beginning of this thing, I looked at James Pierce, and I still feel this way. I think James Pierce is probably the second best pure pass rusher in this class behind Abdul Carter. But for you, Toby, when you hear things about his character and the motor doesn't run hot, I almost, and I'm going back and forth on this like I have with a lot of things in this draft, I almost feel like, man, I think Washington's built the type of locker room environment, the type of culture to where they now can course correct a bad apple, so to speak. If James Pierce is that. That's not a problem you want to have, though, as an edge rusher. Not having your motor run hot. Because if you're not going to chase the ball, if you're not going to pursue, you're going to get yelled at by the fans and be compared to Chase Young, and then I'll have to defend you. I'll have to defend you against my reputation.
Yeah, I think that's where it gets intriguing, because I feel like this team has created a culture that now you can bring in guys with maybe questionable backgrounds, whatever it may be, whether it's off-the-field stuff, whether it's effort stuff, and you feel a little bit better. Before, please don't, right? Like, please don't even bother, because there's problems inside the building, much less having to deal with someone coming in that already has issues. But I think you've built something now that's strong enough that you can overcome that. I don't know, though, that they're the type of front office that is willing to take that risk right now, because look at the guys that they drafted last year. They didn't draft guys with any off-the-field issues.
All captains.
And they drafted all captains, right? So I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I think that they could go that route. The thing that you hit on, though, that I think is so spot on is if they don't walk away with an edge rusher, I do want to hit on another position here in a second, but if they don't walk away with an edge rusher and you're walking into the season with this being your depth chart at edge rusher, Cleland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Jacob Martin, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, they still have Andre Jones. If that's your edge rusher group, they're not a bad group, but there's no one that gets me excited there, except for Jean-Baptiste, I think, can maybe turn into something. I think what you have here is a bunch of, at best, number two edge rushers, probably more so rotational guys, with the exception of, I think, Armstrong can be a starting edge rusher. And the issue I have then is you don't even have somebody in development that could maybe become someone really good, aside from Jean-Baptiste.
That's it.
But he's
that to me is the hidden gem of this entire pass rushing unit to me.
But what's his ceiling?
Javonte, his ceiling may be a perennial 10-sack guy. That's what you need here.
I don't know about that.
Last year,
he's a solid player. He's a 7th-round pick for a reason. I like him. Don't get me wrong.
He's got traits. He sticks out like a sore thumb when you see him on the football field.
I like him. I mean,
fingers touch his kneecaps. I love it.
He came from two big-time programs, Ohio State and Notre Dame.
That pump out edge rushers.
Yeah. I just don't think that he's going to be someone that, look, I don't want to bank on it. Let me put it that way, okay? If he turns into that awesome, I don't think the percentages are high. I think if you can walk away, though, from even if it's not a first-round dude, like a second, third, fourth-round guy that you feel like you can develop into, even if it's just in that same sort of bin, yeah. I think you need something more than just saying, like, hey, we're rolling with Dietrich Wise, and we're rolling with Jacob Martin, and we feel good about Dorrance Armstrong, like, there's nothing exciting about that. Nothing feels like you're building there. I think they have to walk away with an edge rusher. Even if it's not a first-round pick and a guy that maybe turns into a stud, they have to walk away with someone that they feel like they can at least develop into a starting edge rusher.
Yeah, I feel that way as well. I think the thing about this edge rush class, which is good, I'm not pressed to go low-character guy at 29 because he's got traits. Because I do think this is a deep class, right? Like, there's day two and day three guys that I really like Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State is somebody that I think can come in here and start from day one. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M, Landon Jackson from Arkansas, guys that they've been pretty active with in the process that I know can come in here and compete for a spot day one. Here's the thing, though. I wouldn't be upset if my edge rushing pair in week one is Dorrance Armstrong and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I don't know if it's just me. I have an affinity for the kid. I think he has a real chance to turn into a double-digit sack guy. He's got ridiculous traits. He played the run well. Did you just forget the big sack that he had on Monday Night Football against Joe Burrow?
He's a good player,
man. Do you forget
the
big sack that he had against Lamar Jackson before he got hurt in that game?
He's a good player.
I think Charlie can play.
He's a good player. I'm not at all against Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I also, you have to be real, he was a 7th-rounder. And I'm
take the draft tag away from him for a second. Just go based off of what you saw from him last year. If you didn't know he was a 7th round,
flashes, Linnell.
You would think
he showed flashes.
3rd round pick,
but I can't.
4th round.
But again, I don't want to bank on it. If he turns out to be awesome, great.
But you have to at some point trust what you have drafted and developed in house.
Absolutely, but that doesn't mean that you just pass on edge rusher because
no, I'm not saying
you're going to bank on Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Like I believe in him. I think he can be a rotational, maybe even like a number two defensive end. I think that he can do that. I'm not going to bank on it. I think where we're arguing here is you believe that he's getting close to being there.
I'm higher on him than anybody, clearly. And
yeah,
part of it is because, I don't know.
I like him too, but I just think to me, you need to get someone else in the fold with a little bit more pedigree that you feel like you can for sure develop into it. And if you found a diamond in the rough, let's go. Like, I'd be fired up. I just don't want to count on that. I don't want it to be going into this season. If Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Dorrance Armstrong are your starting defensive ends week one,
you'd be upset.
That's not enough.
It may be more of a possibility than you're even giving it a chance of being.
No, it definitely could be a possibility.
Like, that could be their starting defensive end.
I would much rather see Javonte Jean-Baptiste get a chance at Cleveland Farrell. I think Farrell's fine.
Farrell was – the injuries last year with Clee, I think, definitely impacted the production. He had a sack in that Falcons game I was watching, by the way.
I mean, he's a fine –
So, I may be a little skewed when it comes to my thought on him. But, like – The edge rush class, I think, is deeper than maybe the fans are aware of. This draft class, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted this out at the beginning of the process. I've heard Todd McShay second it as well. Picks 20 through 60, you're getting a similar caliber player. So that speaks to the trade down. But some of the day two, day three guys at edge are super interesting. Like, fans out there, some of these names I'm about to pop off here, go look the highlights up. Go search these dudes up. Look up stats. Look up highlights. They can play. Q Robinson out of Alabama, a little bit undersized at just 250, but I like him as a potential late day two, day three guy. Jack Sawyer, I just mentioned, love him. Braden Swinson out of LSU. You saw the last Tiger you drafted turned into the damn rookie of the year. So maybe you should just go from that well. But David Walker out of Central Arkansas is a guy that I really like. Another guy that's kind of undersized. That comes in and fills that Dante Fowler role. The advantage that I think Washington has here is they've created enough depth at defensive end to where the guy that they're drafting doesn't need to be an every down player. I don't think that they're drafting a first and second down guy. They're drafting a guy that's going to put his hand in the dirt and go chase the quarterback. And I think with that being said, if that's going to be the criteria, maybe you don't have to take it at 29 because there are guys that have the pure pass rushing traits but maybe aren't as strong at the point of attack against the run. Because I think you added your run stuffers this offseason. Adding Dietrich Wise, like, that to me, I'm circling that as, like, my free agent signing that I think moves the needle for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that
to me is it.
That's a run stuffing kind of move. You're hoping that maybe Kinlaw can be better than he has been historically against the run. But, yeah, I mean, they've made some moves for that. I'm not sold.
For
put
sure.
it that way.
1-800-636-1067. What do the Commanders have to leave the draft with? Skip is in Vienna. What's going on, Skip?
Hello?
What's up, Skip?
What's up, Skip?
Hey, I love the show and both of you. It's NFL draft time, damn it. Talk draft. You guys are doing a great job of it. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think what I want to see, and I think this is fairly simple, but I don't care what they do as long as they draft a difference maker. I want somebody that comes out there and gives them some real competitive advantage. If it's Connelly at right tackle, that really improves the running game, which broke down with a lot of injuries last year, that's fine. A great cornerback, a wide receiver, a running back. I think any of those, as long as they're really good players and make a difference, I'd be happy with. I just don't want to see them trade out and get nothing because I think they've got holes on this team and I think they have needs.
For sure. No, I agree totally.
And I think that's a good point that he brings up because sometimes we fall in love with this idea, and I want them to trade back for the record, but sometimes we fall in love with this idea of quantity of picks versus give me the quality player. Like if you get a blue chip guy that you think you can have that difference maker that he's talking about at 29, even if someone gives you a better offer than maybe you were expecting – maybe just take the difference maker because it doesn't necessarily help you to have guys that are depth dudes. I think you would much rather have it so that you are going to have people that can actually make a big-time difference. I think you would much rather have that.
For sure. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I think the trade-back conversation is fascinating because it's – We all sports radio is built off
of
hypotheticals, right? Like we get it.
Of course, yeah.
This is the ultimate hypothetical conversation, talking about trading back. Because there are certain scenarios. You would look like a damn fool to trade back if
Mike
Green is on the board for Marshall at 29. He ain't trading back.
Instead of picking Chris Olave or Kyle Hamilton, you end up with Jahan Dotson.
Right.
We've seen it.
Exactly.
Right? Like, remember a couple of years ago, we felt good about that. You're like, you got Jahan Dotson and Brian Robinson and
Sam Howell
back in the future, Sam Howell.
Come on.
And look at where they're at now. We're like, you know what, they'd be better if they had Chris Olave, which hopefully he can stay
they
healthy.
They had Kyle Hamilton.
He can really play. But my gosh, if they had Kyle Hamilton, right?
Like it changes the whole conversation and the whole dynamic of the team, 100%.
So to me, the thing that I think that they need to walk away from outside of talking about edge rusher is I think you have to walk away with a running back. I think you do. It doesn't necessarily have to be an early running back, but I think back to a couple of years ago, I remember people leading up to the 2023 draft. You remember this? Everyone was talking about how good the tight end class was. Everyone was telling you about how good the tight end
was. This is also a good tight end.
Bucky Brooks was talking about this, just looking back in 2023. Maybe this is Lance Zierlein, actually. Mm-hmm. Had said that the top two positions were corner in that draft, and number two was tight end. And Washington going into 2023 was going to be starting Logan Thomas as their tight end. And so you're like, okay, this is a position that makes some sense. Some of the guys that were drafted, Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame, Luke Musgrave, Luke Schoonmaker, Brenton Strange, Tucker Kraft.
It's a good class.
Darnell Washington, even getting later on, Davis Allen is a fifth-round pick that's made some impact. Who did Washington draft? Zero tight ends. Yeah. They drafted Emmanuel Forbes, Quan Martin, Ricky Stromberg, Braden Daniels, KJ Henry, Chris Rodriguez, and Andre Jones. Yeah. Very forgettable class. And I think Ron was, I don't know what Ron was doing, but to me, a loaded running back class where I don't say there's a glaring hole at running back, but there's a hole at running back. Walk away with one of the running backs.
Yeah, I think you have to, like you said. But the more and more I think about it, because there's such supreme depth and we're bragging on the depth of the class, how much sense does it make to take one early? If you know you can get a quality guy in the fourth or the fifth, does it make sense to spend your richest, most premium draft capital on a position that, quite frankly, is not that impactful? Here's the other thing that I think we're totally sleep on when it comes to the run game from last year. The offensive line struggled down the stretch and got blown off the ball consistently. So maybe if there were more holes created, maybe, just maybe, you run the ball a little bit better. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Right now, be caller number 9 to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals. Monday, April 21st versus Montreal at Cap One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Lynnell Willingham, Toby Altizer are back with you here on The Fan. About an hour and a half left to go before we hand things over to Grant and Danny. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you keep it locked all day long to get your chance to be in the house Monday. At Cap One Arena for the chance to see the old Washington Capitals. But hopefully, Toby, the fellas are able to start fast in this series. I know we were talking about it earlier to start the show, the conversation of who should be in net. I think I'm leaning with you now.
Chucky, let's go.
I'm being influenced. Right now, though, let's go out to caller number 9. It's Tim in Arlington. Tim, what's going on, brother? Congratulations, man.
What's up? How we doing? I appreciate it, y'all.
Let's go, Tim.
Linnell. Thank you, guys.
Let's go, Tim. What's the plan? Do we have an Ovi jersey to rock? I'm a Stromer guy. I think I'd be rocking a Stromer jersey. What are we wearing to the game on Monday?
Oh, yeah. Got my Ovi jersey. Got it ready. We're gonna get it washed and ready for the playoffs.
Are we going red? Or do you have the Screaming Eagle, the black one? Which jersey
Those
we got?
Black jerseys are hard.
We're going red, but might leave the stadium with a Screaming Eagle. You never know.
There you go. There you go. Go into the game on someone else's dime, but leaving with a little merch on your own. I like that.
There we go.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Well, enjoy the game, man.
Yes,
have a great
indeed.
Time. Go
Tim,
Caps.
We appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy. Make sure you keep it locked, though, man. All day long, we're giving away a pair of Caps tickets every hour, 20 minutes past the hour, up until 5:20 for your shot to be in the house for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Right now, want to continue our conversation on the Washington Commanders and the Washington, or in the draft rather, 6 days away from the draft. No calls now, so chime in at 1-800-636-1067. What does Washington have to leave the draft with? I do want to pivot here a little bit because the TV behind me kind of influenced me a little bit. Not Roman Reigns or the wrestling. It's not at all. So don't frown.
Thank you, please, because I don't want to talk WrestleMania.
What was your thoughts on old Nico I choosing UCLA?
Can you say his name?
Nico Iamaliava.
Iamaliava.
Iamaliava. I mean, it's
you were closer.
You probably butchered it.
I didn't butcher it.
You sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Iamaliava.
Iamaliava. Iamaliava.
Jeff, what you just said?
It's a difficult name to say. It's Nico Iamaliava. But yeah, it is insane. You know, I think what they did what happened in this whole situation, it's interesting because when you first saw this, you saw college holdouts. Uh-oh, this is going to be the beginning of a lot of problems.
Well,
I think the way that Tennessee took care of it, I think the way that this whole thing went down, I think they did a good job of making sure that, I don't know that any side's wrong in this necessarily, but I don't know that we will see this as much as I kind of thought when I first saw this.
Look, there's one clear villain in the situation. Like, Coach Heupel did what he was supposed to do, right? Like, no one's above the team. I get all of that. I don't blame Nico because he's just a 20-year-old pup that's probably just getting bad advice at this point. The NCAA is the problem.
Oh,
for whatever reason, there is this reluctancy from them to govern their sport. Like, do your job. I don't understand what the holdup is for where college football and college athletics is inevitably going. They're going to need a CBA. They're going to need a salary cap. There are going to be contract slots. Like, you have to put some parameters around this thing. And I'm the first guy that's going to scream from the mountaintops, pay the players, pay the players, pay the players. But, man, at some point you have to have a governing body of rules so that there's checks and balances, because at some point someone's going to get screwed over really bad in this process.
Yeah, and you say
it's going to be the kid.
You say no one's bigger than the team, especially a guy that only threw for 2,600 yards and 19 touchdowns. Like, if he threw 50 touchdowns, we can have a discussion, bud.
This was the number.
We might be able to up this. No, look, I'm a Nico guy. I like Nico. I think he's a really talented quarterback. But with all due respect, bud, you didn't do a lot in the playoff game.
They didn't ask him to do much. Dylan Sampson was the workhorse of the offense.
I understand that. But we can have this discussion. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire did a lot of work in that LSU offense.
He's no Dylan Sampson, though.
I'm just saying, if Joe Burrow came asking for money after 2019, that's a little bit different than what we saw in 2024 with Nico Iamaleava.
That's
a little bit different. So I think the issue here, I think to your point, is you can villainize Nico, you can villainize Tennessee, which I don't know that anyone's really against Tennessee in this, but you're right, it's the NCAA. Because the problem that they ran into here is the NCAA spent all of their resources fighting NIL instead of preparing for the inevitability that NIL was going to become a thing. And so as soon as the floodgates open, they're like, what do we do? And now you're years into it, and you're getting to things that you never thought you'd see in college sports because the NCAA didn't prepare for this at all. They didn't prepare at all. They spent all their time fighting it, and now that it's here because they couldn't fight anymore.
That's how they move for years.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And so I don't know that this is something that's going to become a trend, but it's not a good spot to be in right now with college football, with college sports in general. And by the way,
Is there a solution, though?
There are solutions for sure. But the funny part to me is, for years, I've always been an NFL professional sports over college sports guy. I enjoy college sports. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But some people are like, oh, it's better than the NFL.
No chance.
They're like, it's a more pure. Not anymore. It's not.
Well, college basketball, you can make the argument. I never looked at it from the standpoint of one being more pure than the other. I think in college basketball, the effort that you see varies relative to the NBA. Like, we're going to talk NBA playoffs before we get out of this hour. But, like, the NBA playoffs and the NBA regular season, two completely different things in terms
big
of
time,
effort, intensity, all of that. But back to the NCAA, like, is this the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak?
No.
This is embarrassing. I think it's more embarrassing than anything, because the NCAA, like we continue to say, it's a very simple solution. You need a commissioner, which I know earlier this college football season, everyone was like, Nick Saban. Wouldn't be a bad guy to govern college football.
To be honest with you, the issue that I have is less with NIL. I think there are definitely problems with it. It's more so the transfer portal.
Well, the rules around the portal,
being
there are
able
none.
To move. Like, yeah. We were talking before the show. We haven't brought this up, and this doesn't really necessarily have to deal with Nico, but it kind of falls in the same line where Chad Baker Mazzara, heck of a player for Auburn, he's going to be 26, and he's going to be playing for another school next year because he's already played for two different schools before he went to JUCO, then went to Auburn. I know our guy Brian over there is a big Chad Baker Mazzara guy. He's going to be 26 playing college basketball.
That's tough.
What the heck?
That's tough.
What's going on? Like, so Nico, moving on, like, that's just kind of where we're at. Like, if you're not getting what you want, and, like, I don't think it's a good move, because I think it is.
It's terrible advice. Let's just be real.
It's short-sighted, because if you're Nico, the place where you're going to get your bag, so to speak, is from the league, hopefully, when you continue to develop.
Bingo.
But it's just, it's a wacky spot where I'm not getting what I want. The poster child of this to me.
It should be Nico. They were recruiting his ass in 10th grade. They broke the rules for this guy.
This was a couple of years ago. Hunter Dickinson went in the transfer portal.
That essentially, piece of garbage.
Well, this is essentially what he broadcast. He said, who's going to pay me? Who's going to pay me? It's not fit. It's not coach. It's not it. Who's
going to
pay me?
Don't bring up Hunter Dickinson. All of the Maryland alum are going to become scorned and upset because blame Kevin Willard.
He ends up at Kansas, and it's not anything to do with being a Jayhawk and it's all about
because Maryland didn't have
a
coin. Call it like you see it, Toby.
I don't care.
You wear glasses for a reason, brother.
I couldn't care less where he went.
It's another guy that should have been a Terp that they couldn't afford to keep because the Terps.
It's just wrong.
Are cheap as dirt.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
It's a tough situation. I do think we agree here that the NCAA in some form or fashion has to get together. I think we're so far away. 10 years from now. It's going to be conferences like AFC, NFC. They're going to be divisions. And I think only the top schools are going to be participating.
Well, and the top
your Alabamas, your USCs, all of your like college athletic blue bloods are going to be who dominate the sport and are who participate in the new version of the sport.
It's so tough because football drives everything. Understandably so. Football's the moneymaker. But you put other people in such bad spots. You really do. Like, think about the fact that Maryland has to go play at UCLA and USC, and those schools have to come out this way too, right? And by the way, not just the basketball teams, but
baseball,
you name it, whatever sport, you have to travel across the country. What's going on here? Like, part of college sports is it's supposed to still be about student athlete. It's supposed to be. It hasn't been for years. I get that. But it's still supposed to be. It's gone now.
No, it's all about the money aspect of this. And you were in a couple of weeks ago when we had Cam Ward from Largo High School on overtime a couple
not
of weeks
Miami
ago.
Quarterback going number one overall.
Yeah,
Cam Ward.
The best Maryland public high school player walking God's green earth. That's who we had. But asking him the question of like, I think it's so difficult now to be a high school athlete and a college athlete growing up. And coming up in this time, all the distractions of social media, the distraction of NIL, and whether you want to believe it is or not, it is a distraction. Do we get to a point where the game, the pro game, gets watered down because guys aren't
wanting to go pro anymore?
Because think about this. Some of these guys are coming from, you know, impoverished neighborhoods, and the goal is to go to the NFL so you can, you know, feed your family and create generational wealth. You can create generational wealth as a 17-year-old if you get the right NIL bag. That's why I said if I could go back in the space-time continuum, I'd be D1.
I think the exact opposite, Linnell. I think this is great for the NBA because players will now develop in college instead of riding the bench and averaging 6 points a game in the NBA and sitting down there and being looked at as cast-off because they can't average 20 as a 19-year-old.
How difficult is it, though, to maintain those work habits that got you the bag once you get the bag that early?
I mean, sure.
That's what I worry about. Some dudes are going to be wired the proper way. Others aren't.
I think you're better off having a kid that is a borderline lottery pick that is very, very raw. I mean, look at how many of these Harry Giles, a guy like that, right? Is Harry Giles and what his NBA career turned into, would Harry Giles have been better sticking around at Duke for another year? Absolutely.
4 years, yeah.
Absolutely.
I get what you're saying.
I think it actually helps out the league because instead of being hasty to get to the league,
yeah.
And you get a kid who's only 19 years old, raw as can be. I can't put him on the floor because, frankly, like the way the Wizards did it this year worked, right? But there's not everybody playing like the Wizards, right? Where they're willing to give the guy that they're not trying to win. They're not willing to give the kid that needs playing time. And all of a sudden, he's either playing in the G League or sitting on the bench and not getting real minutes. I think it actually helps out the league a little bit.
For the NBA, I would say so for sure. The bigger thing to me is like, do guys stop declaring? Not do guys stop declaring, but you get what I'm saying here. Like, do you lose the drive to want to get the NFL contract because you're getting, I don't want to say similar money, but you're getting
big bags thrown at you as a 17-year-old, as an 18-year-old. I'm thinking about 17-year-old me, 18-year-old me. If you would have told me I had a $1.5 million NIL bag coming my way,
but
Louis Vuitton down,
but I
bust think, down watch, bust down chain,
what's the
private chef?
What's the difference?
Seafood every damn night.
What's the difference for this Linnell and, say, our guy Cam Ward, right? We'd take him, for example. I think he looked like he had his head on his shoulders. He looks like a really good kid, someone that I think is going to make it. But, say, what's the difference for him versus I now can make $1 million, $2 million at Michigan State versus I can now stick around at Michigan State and stay a little bit longer. It's just delaying it, right? Because now you're a little more hasty to go to the league. Yeah. You're going to get that money regardless if you can play, right? Like Cooper Flagg, there was never a question that he was going to get the bag, whether it was at Duke or whether it was in the league. He was going to be fine. It's just I think it's going to allow kids to mature a little bit. I think also, too, that NIL is going to even out and we're going to get to more of a controlled world eventually. But, my gosh, is it turned into the wild, wild west?
We need to do something. We need to do something because it is getting out of hand. Talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs coming up on the other side of the break. Make sure you keep it locked, though, on the Fan all day long as we give away Caps Game 1 tickets today, every hour, at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance to win coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, 1:20. Keep it locked right here on the Fan. B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer are sitting in for the fellas. Brian, back with you Monday. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long. Big, big weekend coming up. We got Caps Game 1 tickets today. We're giving them away every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20 p.m. Your next chance to win coming up at 1:20, so make sure you keep it locked right here on the Fan. We've talked NFL draft. We've talked Caps Canadians. We've talked a little bit about the struggling Washington Nationals. NBA playoffs, Toby, get underway officially tomorrow. We got the final play-in game here tonight. We'll talk all things Washington Wizards coming up in the final hour of the show. But as we sit here right now, knowing what the important playoff matchups are going to be, because you are, I'm going to ask you a Milwaukee-based question. I know this is going to probably ruffle your feathers. Do you agree with me when I say, if the Bucks get bounced in round one, Giannis is gone?
No, no.
You don't believe that?
No. I don't think he's going anywhere.
The Fan in you? Why?
No, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he loves Milwaukee.
Why would he want to waste the prime of his career in that terrible city?
I think there are changes that need to be made, but no, he's not going anywhere.
Why would he stay? They're the second oldest roster in the NBA. They haven't gotten out of the first round since they won the finals. Giannis hasn't been hurt. Hasn't been healthy.
There are moves that need to be made, and their biggest mistake was, I love Giannis. Love Giannis.
I think you're out of.
Their biggest mistake was letting Giannis pick a head coach because that backfired with Adrian Griffin, and now they're stuck with Doc Rivers. But he's got Damian Lillard, and Lillard's, I know it hasn't been great, but they did not put a good roster around them. I think they need to make some changes. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he loves Milwaukee too much.
I don't know. I strongly disagree with you. I think
90%, 98% of people that cover basketball or love basketball would disagree with me. I think the 2% that, probably less than that, that make up Milwaukee Bucks fans or people in the Milwaukee area would disagree in terms of saying that I think he's going to stay. But, yeah, I mean, this is what I can't stand about the NBA, by the way. He's not winning. Why didn't he leave? Stop.
Dog, what you want him to do? You got to think about where Giannis has the chance to be talked about. We're going to be talking about Giannis as a potentially top 10 greatest player of all time.
We're not winning. Time to go somewhere else. Okay, LeBron.
They have shown no ability to maximize his prime as an athlete. It's Myles Garrett.
It's the Myles Garrett thing
in Cleveland.
They definitely didn't win a ring in 21 or anything.
They did, but that was 4 years ago, Toby. At what point?
It was 4 years ago, not a decade.
You're okay with if the Nats just decided
to
punt? They
just traded for Damian Lillard 2 years ago.
And it hasn't worked. It was a bad deal.
Okay, but it's not acting as if they haven't tried Giannis to do something.
Giannis is a star that I think would benefit from being in a larger market. I think the NBA would benefit from Giannis being in a larger market.
I don't care if the NBA would benefit. I just do. I hate – no, who cares, man? I hate this idea that, you know what, they'd be better off if he wasn't there. Screw that. Why does everything have to be? Why does everyone have to be in New York or L.A.?
That's not what I'm saying. I just want him in a situation that's conducive.
I want him in a bigger market.
I want him in a situation that's conducive to winning. What the hell is he winning in Milwaukee? State fair contest?
A championship in 2021.
Bonbons?
A championship in 2021.
What is like the state food of Wisconsin?
Cheese and beer.
Cheese and beer.
Giannis ain't leaving. I'll put you on a friendly bet with you. He ain't leaving.
You don't think... If you're Milwaukee at a certain point in time, it may be best for you to sell high on Giannis.
You know that's Toby's second home.
I already know. Look, I got him hot under the collar. He's sweating over here. Toby, you have to be realistic about the Giannis thing. There are 2 years left on his contract. He's got a player option in 27-28.
Yeah, move on from one of the best players in the league.
Move on from him now, though.
Get out.
What are the odds that, first of all, they got him, he was a diamond in the rough draft pick, that he's a success story
of the
NBA.
You know this, Linnell. You know this.
You need assets. What assets does Milwaukee have outside of Giannis?
In the NBA, you need one of those dudes. And they have one of those dudes. So you're telling me they should move off that dude?
Giannis is how old? 32?
I think probably just...
Just turned 30 or 31?
He's not old.
I'm saying... I don't know if...
He's 30 years old.
If I'm the organization, Toby, I'm not asking, hey, Giannis, do you want us to trade you? If I'm honest, though, I'm looking like, hey, man, I'm getting older. I'm in the prime of my career.
I'm playing my best basketball right now. Hold on. Here's the other thing. You act like Giannis knows anywhere else. He came
in America.
He came from Greece. And you act as if like, he'd be way better off.
Well, hold on. I have a very well-placed. First of all, Giannis loves New York. Giannis absolutely
loves
the Greek boroughs of New York.
Yeah, he loves New York. He loves plenty of places. Doesn't mean he wants to go live there.
If you're in Milwaukee and someone offers you a haul for Giannis, how do you turn it down knowing the current state of your franchise?
Because it's Giannis.
If they come up short this year, they need to be hitting the teardown button.
No. No.
You're old as hell. You have no assets. Like, what? You traded away your best young piece to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, well, I
think... Who cares more about...
I think
what color
GM
draws
has done a
he's
poor
wearing
job.
Than scoring buckets.
I think their GM has done a poor job of putting stuff around him.
So if
but
you're Giannis,
you
why would you hold yourself captive in a situation where the GM's clearly asleep at the wheel? You're not able to maximize, you know, your ability by because they can't put a team around you. If I'm him, I would want out totally.
No.
Totally.
No.
You haven't gotten out of the now, I keep saying you haven't gotten out of the first round since, but we know that he's not been healthy. I understand that part of it. But damn, their roster's not good. It's not a good basketball team.
But it can change around quick. It's the NBA. It can change quick, man. I don't know. Everyone's so worried about... I hated that when they did this in D.C. with Beal, too. And I understand Beal's a totally different player. But this idea, get him out of there. He's got to go win somewhere. Stop with that, man. It's better for the NBA. I don't care what's good for the NBA. I care what's good for me.
Are you admitting what this really is? This is about your infatuation with Giannis. This has nothing to do with what's best for basketball. This has nothing to do with what's best for the Greek
Freak. Why do I care what's best for basketball, though? Why do I care?
I'm talking about Giannis.
It's the same thing. I hate this discussion. This is like my Chris Russell take right here. This is the stuff that I can't stand right here.
You're going to start complaining about Thanksgiving and schedules that you have no control over?
2 years ago.
You caged animal?
2 years ago, Linnell, it was in the World Series. Yeah. It was the Rangers and it was the Diamondbacks. And everyone said, this is bad for baseball, ratings, this... you know what I missed, Linnell? They didn't play baseball last year because it was so bad it tanked the league. I forgot that. No, it was Dodgers-Yankees, and everyone's so thrilled about it. It's good for baseball. Stop it with all that stuff. I don't care what's good. It's not like it's going anywhere. Relax.
Giannis isn't going to win another title in Milwaukee. If Giannis cares about his legacy, if Giannis cares about being, you know, talked about as one of the all-time greats, he would get out of Milwaukee.
He's already talked about as one of the all-time greats.
How much better would the legacy be if he had another title, which he won't get in Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah. So going to the Lakers and winning a title definitely doesn't...
I'm not saying the Lakers.
You know,
there are teams that have assets.
Remember when loyalty was a thing in the NBA? Because Linnell hates that. Linnell likes
loyalty,
one L word, and it's Linnell.
Come on, man. What does loyalty in pro sports get you? Nothing. Literally nothing.
It won him a championship in 21. He's going to try and do it again.
No, what won him a championship is that the officials in Phoenix blew the whistle so much that he shot 21 damn free throws in a Game 7, which is ridiculous.
It was Game 6, by the way.
Or Game 6.
He doesn't know what a Game 7's like that. So, which means more? His title in Milwaukee or Kevin Durant's couple in Golden State, or LeBron's couple in Miami.
Maybe if he got more titles than Kevin Durant, we would maybe have a conversation about him.
I'm just saying, like, if you want to go join forces and diminish a title with whoever, great. Feel free. Working hard and building your team and
wasting your career away.
It's not wasting your career, man.
To me.
It's not wasting your career. It's not all about championships. Not all the time.
You're right, it's not. In the last 3 years, he's gone without one.
Again, this is my issue with the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
All these discussions we're having right now, my issue with the NBA.
It's tough. Final hour of power coming up here on 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today, every hour, at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. When we get back, we will keep the conversation on the NBA. Will Dawkins, the general manager of the Washington Wizards, had his end-of-season press conference on Wednesday. We'll give you the best sound from that coming up next on The Fan.